Oh, yeah.
I lay my head on the railroad tracks and wait for the double E. The railroad don't run no more. Poor, poor, pitiful me.
Credit to her gender.
Through some changes, Lord, sort of like a wearing blender. Poor, poor, pitiful me. Poor, poor, pitiful me. These young girls won't let me be. Lord, have mercy on me. Woe is me.
Oh, man. Welcome to the Parrothead Podcast. I am Ryan Middledorf.
I'm Patrick McDonald. This is your podcast for all things Jimmy Buffett, including artists that Jimmy Buffett knew and loved. This
yes.
is a Buffett Buddies about Warren Zevon.
I'm excited for this one.
I'm so excited. We stumbled upon Warren Zevon in the Laurel Canyon podcast.
Yes, we touched on him a bit, yeah.
The legacy of Laurel Canyon, which, by the way, I had to go from Studio City to West Hollywood last night.
Ooh.
For a little concert my friend was putting on. And I drove through the Laurel Canyon bypass,
uh-huh.
and I put on the podcast.
Yeah.
Little Joni Mitchell helped me, a little Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Driving through that Laurel Canyon, it's just amazing.
It's gorgeous.
Those incredible houses. Also just looking around being like, these houses were gigantic.
Yeah.
We didn't discuss this.
No.
I don't think those houses were cheap to live in.
No, I'm
I
sure.
I think those people already had money, and
yeah.
they were living there.
Yeah.
And it was just thinking about them walking around in these gigantic houses and hearing music coming from these hills.
It's own contained little city too.
Yes, it is.
Like, you don't need to go into Hollywood if you don't want to. Like, they
not
have like
all.
A little, like, you know, general store, like corner market type thing where
Absolutely.
You can get what you need. And yeah, it's great. They
it's
just
a great area.
Lived in such close proximity, you could walk to someone's house and just jam out all day.
Exactly.
And so much fun.
I would honestly love to do some sort of Laurel Canyon tour. I wonder if they have those.
That would be fun.
Do I say the word tour weird? Everyone says I do.
Say it again.
Tour.
Tour?
Tour.
Tour. I like, say tour.
I'm a tour guide.
Tour. Yeah, I'm sensing an like an umlaut.
I hate that.
It's never registered for me.
I hate that.
Tour. Tour. Tour.
I hate it.
Say it again.
Tour.
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 It definitely sounds like there's like a half an extra O.
I'm a tour guide.
A tour guide. Tour guide. Tour.
Welcome to the Tourhead Podcast.
We'll recover the best of the tours.
I went on a chocolate tour in Charlotte, North Carolina. Had a blast.
We don't talk about the actual substance of what we discover on the tour, just
no,
the tour itself.
Exactly. And
the
that's
tour guy's name
on.
Was Devin.
he was loud.
He was a hoot.
He was so loud.
Oh, very funny.
Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good.
Yeah.
I've been just living my life.
Good.
I do have a Jimmy Buffett related, kind of Jimmy Buffett related activity that I did recently. I took Olivia down to Leo Carrillo State Beach.
Oh, the dog beach.
It is a dog beach, but it's also a tide pool beach.
Oh, I've been to that one too.
It was very cool.
Yes.
It was super fun. We went, so the best time to do tide pools is between, I think it's like November and February when
okay.
low tide is during the day.
Yeah.
So low tide on this particular day was at like 11:30 in the morning. So we went down at like 11, hung out for a bit, and just walked around the rocks and looked at all little creatures and stuff. Saw a bunch of crabs and some like starfish. Saw a sea slug.
I saw a sea slug when I was there.
It was crazy. I'd never seen one before.
They are so large.
It's huge.
I don't like to see them.
No.
They're too big.
And slimy.
And slimy. And you're wondering, what's going on in there, in the ocean?
Yeah. Oh, God.
That those are like that?
I've said it before. I'll say it again. The ocean is the scariest place in the
entire world.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. So we went to, Leo Carrillo, climbed up on some rocks. It was one of those places where, like, the waves break and splash against the rocks, and there's these just big crescendos of water, and like up on the rocks there are like little tide pools too.
Yeah,
it was so cool.
Oh, I love that. I think I've been to that one too, and you can kind of climb up high above the rocks too.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really, really wonderful.
It was so much fun. So we did that, and then afterwards we went to this restaurant called Neptune's Net.
Oh, yeah, up in Malibu.
Up in Malibu, yeah. Which is a great, like, exactly what you want from, like, a, you know, by-the-beach fish shack place.
Yes.
We happened to go on a Sunday, and every Sunday there's a biker gang that comes, and they all eat there.
No way.
And it was super cool. And it was crazy loud. Like, probably, not even exaggerating, like, 150 bikers.
That's crazy.
It was so crazy. I fit right in.
Did you do that thing in, like, in Pee Wee's Big Adventure where you fall and you knock over all the motorcycles?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and then you have to do tequila. You have to dance to tequila and you point at simultaneously your penis and your butthole.
Yes. Yeah.
Which people don't understand that's what that dance is, which is why it's funny.
It is for a kid's show.
Yeah. Well, that whole movie is not for children.
No. That's a crazy movie.
I love that movie.
It's great.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Great film.
It's a great film.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was so much fun. And they were doing like tricks right there on the PCH. The cops came. And
tricks?
Yeah. They were doing like wheelies and stuff on their motorcycles.
Really?
It's crazy. Bikers are like the nicest people.
Yes.
They're so nice.
Because it's
all community based.
Yeah, absolutely.
So nice. So like everyone's like, oh, come sit down. Like we're looking for a table and they're like, oh, come sit down. So we're just sitting around like just a bunch of people in like leather and just like they're just chilling, having fun.
They look out for each other. I think that's a big thing in society is you kind of like judge these groups of people for who they are.
And yeah.
It's like, oh, we don't like them or whatever like that. But then on the inside of the group, they're kind of like, no, we're good.
Yeah.
You're projecting a lot of stuff onto us.
Yeah.
We project a lot of stuff onto other people.
Yes.
And that's something I wanted to talk about today.
Oh boy, here we go.
Close your computers, everyone. It's time for a lesson. Projections. Well, as Jimmy Buffett fans, it's that thing of like,
yeah,
people think that Jimmy Buffett is dumb, and we love Jimmy Buffett.
We
and
do.
On the inside, we're like, I don't even feel that. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect me.
Right.
I know I've met some incredible parrot heads, and they're wonderful people. So
yes.
It doesn't really matter to me.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a fun day at the beach.
That's great.
It was a blast. I'd never done it before, but go check out some tide pools, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to go to a tide pool.
You got to go to a tide pool.
I love tide pools so much.
It was fun.
That is amazing.
Yeah. What about you, man? What's going on?
Oh, gosh. What's been going on with me? Not really, truly not much.
Yeah. You just living life.
I'm living life as well. We talked a little bit about that coffee company did we talk about it on the podcast?
Trade Coffee a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I joined that coffee company.
It's really good.
We're getting
really
coffee mailed to us. This is not sponsored content.
No, absolutely
not. No one
not.
Would dare touch us.
No. Except for that one Black Tux ad.
Yeah, that was nice. Oh, yeah. I miss those days.
The whopping $20 we made.
You did not tell me it was $20.
I did.
Okay, you did.
I have yet to Venmo you.
That's fine. You can keep it. After everything we've gone through, you can keep it. I'm doing that. That's been really, really nice.
Yeah.
I'm making coffee in the morning for myself.
That's great.
I feel like I'm exploring all these things that there are things that like, oh, I got into this new thing. It's making coffee for myself.
Yes.
Like
a lot of self-care stuff.
A lot of self-care.
Self-care is good. That's important.
Yeah. I got into this new thing where I do my laundry.
Yes.
You know, it's...
I'll tell you
the time of the week.
I'll tell you a self-care thing that I've started doing. I've talked about on the podcast before. I'm huge into cooking.
Yes.
Love, love, love cooking. It's my favorite thing in the world. I'm trying to be a little more sustainable with what I'm cooking.
Great.
So I'm making a lot of my own stuff. So for the first time last week, I made my own pasta sauce.
Whoa.
I bought a food mill, which is great. Have you ever done this before?
No, what is that?
A food mill is, it's just like this, like it's almost like a colander with a handle and a little like dull kind of blade on the inside. You just spin it around. It's kind of like a coffee grinder, like a hand, like burr coffee grinder.
Ooh.
But you take whole plum tomatoes that you get in like a can, like San Marzano tomatoes, pour them into this food mill, and then you just grind up the tomatoes and it makes this puree. And then you just put that in a pot with some oil, garlic, and basil that's already been kind of heating up. And then you just stir it like pretty like aggressively until everything emulsifies. A little bit of salt and you're done. It is the tastiest, healthiest pasta sauce I have ever made in my entire life.
Wow.
It's so good.
Emulsifies, you say?
Emulsifies. So I'm doing that. And then I'm starting to make stocks.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, chicken stock, really, really good.
Wow, you're really doing it.
I'm really doing it.
That's really exciting.
It's my favorite thing.
I had orange chicken 4 days in a row.
Okay.
Last week.
realize that that's like the candy of the meat world.
Yes, correct.
It's just sugar.
Candy of the meat world. It was the Trader Joe's version. It wasn't from Out.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it wasn't from like Panda.
No. Well, one of them was. Okay. But then 3 other days I ate orange chicken.
So was the Trader Joe's orange chicken, did you eat that? Was that like in a row, like in succession, Monday, Tuesday,
Wednesday?
Yeah,
it was like leftovers.
But and then the next day you said you felt like you needed more.
Yes. Yeah, that was a bad week for me. It was a tough week. We got overwhelmed.
So what's funny is because at Panda you have other options.
I don't see them.
Okay.
At Panda Express I don't see other options.
Myopic. Just like I see the orange chicken.
I mean, maybe I'll try the walnut shrimp, but I'm like, that's crazy. Candied shrimp?
Who am I?
No.
No. No. No. No. No.
No. Am I a prince? No.
No.
I eat candied chicken. That's what I eat.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good, and I need to work on that. But I was eating broccoli as well.
Okay. Well, that's good.
So that's nice.
Broccoli's good. Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
It's good.
I'm going to make short rib for the first time next week.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm getting a Dutch oven.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. I'm super excited for it.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
It's hard to be really into food alone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I get it.
When I'm making food for myself, it's like, well, I don't know. But I need to value my own meals a little bit more as well.
Sure. Well, like the nice thing about it is a lot of this stuff you can freeze.
True.
So like
true.
I make a really good chicken tortilla soup that I make in this Instant Pot and we'll eat it like maybe two nights for dinner and then we'll freeze the rest. So I have a whole like probably 2-3 quarts of chicken tortilla soup that's just sitting there.
Nice.
That we can have whenever we want. And you can do that solo.
That's true. I could do that.
You could do
and
that.
And I should do that.
It's really good.
I'm
so like
get into
freezing
it.
Lots, like I have frozen chili in there.
Yeah.
I don't really need to go to the grocery store this week because it's all done.
Good point.
Yeah, it's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Well, now you make a good point.
Just do it. Just do
I'm
it.
I'm
going to
make my own orange chicken from scratch.
No. I don't think you.
That's what you're saying. Fry it, batter it, add the sugar myself so I can add more sugar.
That's right.
Because my whole problem with orange chicken is it isn't sweet enough.
No. Also, is there any actual orange in the orange chicken?
No, I don't know. There's an essence.
Okay.
It's a hint, a suggestion.
Orange zest.
Yes, a familiarity of orange.
Yes, a familiarity of orange.
Yes, absolutely.
This dish sat next to a bowl of oranges.
Exactly. This dish was, it was told about oranges. Still, what oranges were.
We played a podcast about oranges.
Wait, we listened to Orange You Happy You're Listening to This, a podcast I do with a bowl of fruit. Ryan, I have a little bit of Buffett news, more of a Buffett community discussion.
Yes, okay, perfect.
Somebody sent this to me on Instagram, as you do. If you run a Parrothead podcast, people send you things all the time.
Yes.
About Jimmy Buffett.
Nonstop.
Things were involving Jimmy Buffett, and he said, curious of your thoughts on this.
Uh-huh.
It's a stand-up set from the comedian Kyle Kinane.
Yes, I know Kyle Kinane.
Kyle Kinane, he spoke about something that we all know about, and I wanted to play the set on, it's like maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Okay.
I wanted to play it so we can listen to it together and discuss it.
Perfect.
So go ahead and let's listen to Kyle Kinane's stand-up. This was pretty recent.
You guys got an idea? Probably think it's subjective, right? It's unique to the person, the individual. When people say like that Sarah McLachlan song, it's a sad one. It's a sad one. You know, Everybody Hurts. People say that's a good. That is a good sad song. It's not the saddest one though. I'm gonna tell you, sad song in the world. It's universal. It's Margaritaville by Jimmy Buffett.
Here we go.
Not Margaritaville as it was written. Margaritaville, when it was written, that's not a real place. That's just some fictional beach location where some middle-aged fuck-up can go like, oh, God, I guess I screwed things up. Oh, well, cool drink, toe in the sand. What are you gonna do? No. Margaritaville now. Now that we know Margaritaville is a real brick-and-mortar restaurant attached to shopping malls throughout the Midwest, now sing those lyrics, and that shit's the darkest song you've ever heard. Not Margaritaville, some made-up island that you could only get to with one of them airplanes with the hot dogs on the bottom of it. No. Margaritaville, number 218, Schaumburg, Illinois, let's say sometime late February. Now let's go over those lyrics. Just some guy after a lunch rush, like bar back, 19 years old, wiping off laminate menus in the corner. You know.
He's like miming, cleaning
the whole time.
Menus.
There's just a sobbing divorcee sitting at the bar. Just some guy still in his Comcast uniform. Some people say there's a woman to blame. But I know. Hey, Terry, you want to get your shit together right now? There's families in here, bro. Now, I can box up these coconut shrimps. You could eat them in the van, but you can't be doing this shit in here right now. I'm just looking for my lost shaker soul. Yeah, what the fuck does that even mean? There's one on every table. Joke's gonna be real good when I learn more lyrics to Margarita.
That's very funny.
There you go. It's funny. It's good. I like it.
I like it.
It's funny. I think I agree. You know, it's a good take.
Yes.
It's not too mean about Jimmy Buffett.
No, it's not.
No.
It is funny thinking about it in the context of the restaurants.
It
now,
is
though.
Funny. Whisked away again in Margaritaville.
Yes.
Stepped on a pop top. Why do they have those in there? You know?
Yeah. Who knows?
But there you go. That's just a little Jimmy Buffett content. I'm telling you, last episode I said he's popping up in the zeitgeist a little bit more.
He is. And there you go.
There
Cop Kinane.
People are talking about him.
Yeah, well known comedian, touring.
The voice of Comedy Central.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Not a lot of Buffett news today.
No.
But let's talk about what we're listening to.
Yes.
Patty, do you have anything you're currently digging on?
Yeah, I am digging on a couple things.
Okay.
One of the biggest things is, you know, we are, we're musical time travelers. We jump around.
Oh, yes.
We do whatever we want.
Oh,
but
yes.
There was a band that was very big when I was younger that, is beginning to release new music.
Okay.
I'm sure you've listened to them. Do you know the Strokes are releasing new
music? Yes.
Were you going to mention the Strokes?
I was not, but that was on my honorable mentions.
Oh, great. So the Strokes have some new songs that are slowly popping out, and I'm loving it. We love the Strokes.
Yeah.
The newest song that they released on February 18th, as of recording this, is one that I love because it sounds almost exactly like a song that they would have released in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And I love it. So yeah. I want to listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called Bad Decisions.
Let's give it a listen.
This feels like I love something that feels like a time machine.
Oh,
that
yeah.
isn't a time, like it's released now, but it could have been released then.
Definitely.
Oh yeah.
Shut down the lights, I'm sitting with you. Moscow, 1972. Always singing in my sleep. I believe it in my dreams. I'm making bad decisions. I'm making bad decisions. I'm making bad decisions for you.
Very Strokes.
It's so the Strokes.
Yeah,
it's
I love it.
It's such a singular voice.
It's very, very cool.
It's amazing. Making Bad Decisions. That's the song I listen to every day when I eat orange chicken again.
Are they going back on tour?
I don't know. Have they announced dates?
They did some like benefit a couple weeks or months ago, and tickets were like insane.
They're playing March 14th in Inglewood at the Forum.
Oh, okay.
So that's
that
exciting.
That might be the benefit that we... Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe.
They did something. Yeah.
They're playing February 24th in Belfast.
Uh-huh.
They're doing Vancouver, Seattle,
wow.
Monterey, Santiago,
they're
Asuncion, Paraguay, Bogota, Colombia. And then they're hitting... They're starting in the U.S. around May 1st. They're doing Shaky Knees 2020, which must be a concert festival in Atlanta.
They were one of the first bands that introduced me to the idea of like indie rock and indie pop.
They were. They were huge. They like bridged the gap because
yes.
People loved using them in movies.
Yes.
Because they were like really hip.
Right.
But you didn't hear about them on the radio.
Yeah.
So it was like, where is this song from? It was right around the time when like iTunes helped create artists based on like, it was like Grey's Anatomy-esque kind of things.
Yes.
Where like all of a sudden things like The Fray and Snow Patrol became popular because of a song that was on TV.
Right.
And they really started exploding. But beyond that, they were just incredible like rock music. But it somehow penetrated like the hip underground scenes
yeah.
to get to those mainstream kids
yes.
in suburban areas like
yeah.
me.
It was really cool.
It was really cool.
That's great. I love
they were
that.
Great.
I'm
I
excited.
Love them. I'm happy they're back. I think it's really cool. It's a really interesting voice. And also, I felt like they got cut off too soon. They stopped for so long.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So
that's
anyways.
Great. I love
it. Ryan,
that.
What are you listening to right now?
Oh, so we talk about these guys on the show a fair amount.
Okay.
The Rad Trads.
Oh, you love the Rad Trads.
I love the Rad Trads.
I suggested the Rad Trads.
You did.
You're dying. You're loving them.
They have a new single out.
They do have a new single out.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a cover of Hold On.
I know.
By Alabama Shakes.
And yeah, they released it on Valentine's Day.
It's really good.
I was sent it directly. I can't believe I didn't send it over to you. I will from now on.
It's so good.
Oh, it's so good.
It was on my release radar.
Oh my gosh. I'm so happy it was.
And I listened to it. And
oh, the Rad Trads.
Great. And I love the Alabama Shakes, and I love this song.
Oh, yeah.
And this version is totally different.
It is.
It makes it feel like a completely different song.
It's brilliant.
It's really good.
Oh, I can't wait to listen to it.
Let's give it a listen.
Let's do it.
Hold On by the Rad Trads.
Here we go.
Bless my heart and bless my soul. I didn't think I'd make it to 22 years old. There must be somebody up above saying, come on now. You got to come on now. You got to hold. had to hold on.
I love that.
So good.
Oh my gosh.
Bless my heart and bless yours too. I don't know where I'm gonna go or what I'm gonna do. There's got to be somebody up above saying, come on now, you got to get back up, you gotta hold.
Man.
It's good, and it's just that the entire song.
Yeah, it's so sultry.
It's so stripped down, and it's great. I love those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that's Pat Sargent that's singing on that track, in which we love Pat.
Really, really good stuff. Yeah,
shout out to the Red Trats. We love
you. You're so good.
I actually have a bonus just listening to. I'm friends with this artist, Sophie Ann. She's incredible. She's also happens to be my roommate.
Oh.
I live with Sophie Ann.
Okay.
She's very, very talented, and she just released a new album called Just Me. It's more of a pop, like electro vibey kind of thing.
Okay.
And it's very, very good. It's like truly incredible, and I think we should listen to, it's called Head Over Heels.
Head Over Heels.
And it's very, very, very good. If you're into people like King Princess, or maybe like something like Haim, or there's even a bit of a Maggie Rogers vibe to it. There's an electro pop kind of thing to it that I think is very, very good. Sophie Ann, SophieAnn.
Ooh.
She's really good.
We've been apart more than we were together. I know you're gone, but I thought you'd stay.
This is like dance night music.
Yes.
I call you up even though I know better. I know you're gone, but I thought you'd stay.
If you're looking to dance,
Sophie Ann, check her out.
If you're looking to put on some music that your nieces and nephews can dance to,
yes,
surprise them all and put on this cool new trendy song.
That's very
cool. She's really, really, really.
How long
talented.
Has she been making music?
A long time,
really.
She went to Berklee College of Music.
Oh wow, okay.
Years and years ago.
Very
cool. She's very, very good, and I highly recommend it. She's just a nice, good friend of mine, and she's my roommate, and she's fantastic.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, shout out. Good
shout
one.
Out to Sophie Ann. So that's all. Yeah, just me, Sophie Ann. Give it a damn listen, everybody.
Give it a damn listen.
But we're not talking about any of those people today.
No, we're talking about the late, great Warren Zevon.
Warren Zevon. It's no surprise.
No surprise.
I mean, we love Warren.
Yes.
Jimmy loves Warren. He's done a cover of Werewolves of London.
Yes.
Warren is a big influence on a lot of modern musicians.
Yeah. I had heard, the first time I heard Warren Zevon was in the movie Funny People.
Okay.
With Adam Sandler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He plays, Judd Apatow includes a song in the soundtrack. I don't want to get it wrong. Hold on one sec.
Okay.
Keep Me in Your Heart.
Oh, yeah.
By Warren Zevon.
Yes.
Really, really good song. And that was the first time I had heard of him. And I loved it. And I didn't realize how much of an influence he had on other artists.
Yes, he had a huge influence. It feels like he was somebody that everybody collaborated with, or people looked out for him.
Yes.
People were, you know, like really, really just like trusting his opinion. He just seemed like somebody that everybody absolutely loved.
And he seems like he was just a kind of out there guy too.
Yeah, absolutely. He was definitely out there and a strange guy and a really, really funny guy.
It seemed
like his lyrics were so funny and lighthearted, but also just like very specific. One of my favorite things about this album is that, to me, how he wrote this album, was self-titled Warren Zevon is what we're looking at today.
Yep.
It's his second album. The first one he released was 1969, and then this was one that got him a lot of acclaim. What's so funny to me about this album is that it's almost like he just met a different woman in a bar in Hollywood every night. And he just sings about going to bars in Hollywood and meeting women at bars in Hollywood. And that was his entire inspiration.
A lot of his lyrics reference like Hollywood specifically, West Hollywood specifically, yes. Places that still exist today.
Yes, absolutely.
Very funny. Very geographical.
I really, really love it. I think it's so, so, so funny. And I can't wait to get into him. We know that he left Los Angeles for a little bit. And then in 1975, he returned to Los Angeles, where he roomed with Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham.
Yes.
And they were already famous. And he also was collaborating in 1975 with Jackson Browne. And Jackson Browne helped produce this album.
Yeah, and opened for Jackson Browne on a number of dates.
He did. And contributors to the album included Nicks, Buckingham, Mick Fleetwood, John McVie, members of the Eagles, Carl Wilson, Linda Ronstadt, and Bonnie Raitt.
This is just a crazy time in music.
It's crazy.
This is nuts.
It's crazy. Linda Ronstadt also went on to record a lot of his songs.
Yeah.
Like really helped get his songwriting out there.
Yes.
So she's been erroneously described in some sources as his second wife.
Beautiful.
Yeah, which is false. But yeah, I guess there's a song called Empty Handed Heart that Linda Ronstadt sings.
Okay.
That was kind of about that. But anyways, we got to get into this music.
So let's talk about the title track, Frank and Jesse James. This is he's got a very Buffett style approach to songwriting.
He does.
Where it's very factual based. It's very like story based. Like this thing happened, this thing happened, then we all did this thing.
He's
together.
Telling stories, but he has opinions about what he's saying.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
And I really, really love that. Also, I want to point something out. We've already listened to one of his songs. There's Frank and Jesse James, and then there's Desperados Under the Eaves, which we listened to in the Lil' Kanan album. They have the same intro.
They do?
Yes. And it's one of them is it's an orchestral like vibe. So I want to point out this theme.
Ooh, interesting.
So let's listen to this first one and then we can listen to a little bit of Desperado Under the Eaves because it's almost like the theme of the album, like the recurring tune.
Yes.
That comes in and out. And I just want to be aware of it.
I love it. Okay.
All right.
Frank and Jesse James, let's give it a listen.
Let's do it. There it is. Ooh.
Love that.
On a small Missouri farm back when the West was young, two boys learned to rope and ride, be handy with a gun. War broke out between the states and they joined up with Cantrill, and it was over in Clay County that Frank and Jesse finally learned to kill. Keep on riding, 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 Frank and Jesse James. Keep on riding, 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 till you clear your names. Keep on riding, 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 across the rivers and the range. Keep on riding, 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 Frank and Jesse James.
It's just so cool. Like
really
I love keep on riding, right? Like that
it's
is
so good.
And that's like his thing. Like he I don't know if there are any artists that sound quite like him.
No.
He's got almost like a like an operatic kind of style of singing. Yeah. It's really, really good.
He's really, if I'm speaking specifically about singing, he's really opening that soft palate.
Yes.
And he's really singing from the back of his throat, and he's really hollow in his throat.
You're a mean one.
Yeah.
Mr. He's Grinch.
He's like Boris Karloff.
Yeah.
He's like the Laurel Canyon Boris Karloff.
We're going to get letters from his estate.
I dare you. Honestly, why hasn't anyone sued us?
Just try.
Just try. We'll just stop doing it.
Yeah. Joke's on you, idiots.
You're more than welcome to tell us to stop doing any of what we're doing. We just keep going because no one's told us anything.
No, exactly. Oh, it's so funny.
That's so funny.
Mama couldn't be persuaded.
Oh, wait. I wanted to talk about that theme.
Oh, yes, the theme.
So play the beginning again of it, of Frank and Jesse James.
Yes, yes.
Great. Great. Okay, yep, so that's that one. And let's jump to song 11, Desperados Under the Eaves, right now. Just to break form, just
this
hear
is the through line of the album.
This is the through line of the album.
Oh. Oh, you're right. It's like a maturing of the melody.
Yeah, and it goes from piano, like simple piano, to like full orchestral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
That's very cool.
I think it's so cool.
I like
that a lot. I love stuff like that where it's like not over your head, but it's like he clearly has something that he's saying tonally.
Yes.
Right? Where it's like this is a graduation throughout the entire album of maybe this feeling of maturing or growing up, or I don't know what it is. Like
yeah.
We're starting with, because especially Desperados on the Eaves is kind of the end of the world. Frank and Jesse James is the beginning. Keep on writing, this hope, this adventure, this Wild West excitement.
Yeah.
Potentially moving out to LA is his Wild West, right?
Yes.
Like, it's all this stuff to me that I think is incredible. So anyways.
That's really interesting. I like
really
that a lot.
It's really cool. So I just want to keep an eye out, because those are the only times that I've noticed it, but I bet you there's other times that theme
other
is in
instances.
Here. So I want to keep an eye out.
Okay. That's all right. I love that.
So Mama Couldn't Be Persuaded is song number two.
Song number two. Let's give it a listen.
Great.
Very full buttony.
It is a little.
Amber rambled down a country lane, looking for a game of chance. She was 21 or 2, and she knew what she wanted, and she wanted that gambling man. The parents wonder. Tried to reason with her. She was determined that she won the bill. They'd all be offended at the mention still if they heard this song, which I doubt they will. And my mama couldn't be persuaded when they pleaded with her daughter, don't marry that gambling man. Mama couldn't be persuaded when they pleaded with her daughter, don't marry that gambling man. Mama couldn't be persuaded.
Very fun song.
It's really cool.
I like it a lot.
And on that harmony vocals, that's Jackson Browne back there.
Really?
Which you can hear, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I got a little JB.
I love that.
The other JB.
I love that. The other JB.
The other JB.
Our other favorite JB.
Yeah.
I like that song a lot.
I like it too.
It's poppy, it's jumpy, it's good.
He repeats the chorus, I think that phrase, 4 times.
Yes.
Mama, and that's so funny.
What is the actual lyric?
And my mama couldn't be persuaded when they pleaded with her daughter, don't marry that gambling man. Mama couldn't be persuaded when they pleaded with her daughter, don't marry that gambling man. Mama couldn't be persuaded when they pleaded with her, no, nevertheless. So it changes up a little bit.
I love it.
Yeah.
Back's Turn, Looking Down the Path.
Oh, yeah. Let's do this one.
Very specific song titles.
Yes, it
I
is.
I love it.
We love specificity.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Let's give it a listen. All Track right. three.
Jackson Brown.
Nothing matters when I'm with my baby. With my back turned, looking down the path. We'll go walking hand in hand, laughing fit to beat the band. With our backs turned, down the path. People always ask me why, what's the matter with me? Nothing matters when I'm with my baby. With my back turned, looking down the path.
It's simple.
It's so simple.
It's really simple.
On slide guitar, that's Jackson Brown.
Okay.
And on guitar is Lindsey Buckingham.
Really?
Yeah.
Such a collaborative project. Such a collaborative album.
Yeah. He had all these people also that like just clearly loved him and they'd already gained success.
Yeah.
So they were like, no, we want to come in and help
just
you
latched
out.
On to
we
this
We want
guy.
To do this. And I think that's a pretty cool, amazing statement that they're making.
Was he close? He must have been close to them, like in age, right?
Had to be, yeah.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
definitely was. He was like their same age.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
I love
He's
that.
So good. All right, what's our fourth track, Ryan?
We got Hasten Down the Wind.
Hasten.
Oh yeah, Hasten
down
the
wind.
Wind.
We're going down all the time.
Yes,
looking down the path. Hasten down the wind.
Then poor beautiful me. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Hasten down the wind.
Hasten down the wind.
Let's give it a listen.
Let's do it.
What does hasten mean?
Hasten is, I believe, it's like hastening something.
Never gonna ask you a question again.
He tells her he doesn't understand. She takes his hand. She tells him nothing's working out the way they planned. She's so many women. He can't find the one who was his friend. So he's hanging on to half a heart, but he can't have the restless part. So he tells her to hasten down the wind. And he agrees and thinks she needs to be free. Then she says she'd rather be with him, but it's just a whim by which she hopes to keep him on the limb. She's so many women, he can't find the one who was his friend. So he's hanging on to half the heart, he can't have the restless part. So he tells her to hasten down the wind.
Hasten down the wind.
Hasten down the wind. Yes. Hasten means to be quick to do something, Ryan.
Oh, okay.
So you got to be quick down the wind.
Quick down the wind.
Get out of here. I love the lyric in here. She's so many women.
Yeah.
She's so many women. She's so many women. He can't find the one who was his friend.
Goes back to what you were saying earlier. He just met a bunch of women in bars.
Yeah. But it's also like she's so many women is such a funny way to be like, yeah, this has happened a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's so many women. She like a lot of, he's this person that he's constantly having people do this to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's so many women. I think that's amazing. Just wanted to point out that the harmony on this is Phil Everly of the Everly Brothers.
Oh, okay. Wow. Huh.
We got an Everly. Who's who? We got an Everly. It's not quite a Neville.
No.
It's a Neverly. But it's pretty amazing, all the people that are on this.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to keep mentioning them because I think it's interesting. Yeah, I love that.
That's great.
It's a great song.
It's a good one.
She's so many women.
Poor, poor, pitiful me. We open up the episode on it. Yeah. Let's jump to the middle, see what's going on.
Let's do it.
This to me feels like quintessential Warren Zevon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's just like the
and also meeting a girl at the Rainbow Bar.
Yes. The arrangement of it is so specific and so precise. There's a lot going on, but he wrangles it really, yeah, really well.
It's really, really, really good. He's so talented. He also, I met a man out in Hollywood. Now I ain't naming names. Well, he worked me over real good, just like Jesse James.
Ah.
Lace, he worked me over good. He was a credit to his gender. Put me through some changes, Lord. Sort of like a wearing blender. So he mixed you up. Oh, these boys won't let me be. Oh, that's Linda Ronstadt. So there's a Linda Ronstadt version of this.
Oh,
sorry,
I was reading.
It looks like I was reading the
of poor, poor
male version. I was like, Warren, is this a queer song? Warren, yeah, there's the Linda Ronstadt version of it. That's
I want to listen to that.
Famous as well. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's give it a listen.
Let's do it.
Poor, poor, pitiful me by Linda Ronstadt.
Poor, poor, pitiful me. Ooh. I love this version.
It's really good.
When I met a man out in Hollywood, now I ain't naming names. When he really worked me over good, just like Jesse James. Yes, he really worked me over good. He was a credit to his gender.
There is, it sounds like a male background vocalist.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's Warren.
Well, I wonder if it is.
I wonder. It's really good. I like that version a lot.
That's a great song.
Yeah. There's a lot going on. It's so cool. Yeah. I love that song. Frank and Jesse James, I love. Yeah. It's great. It's just put together so beautifully.
It's really good. And on the Warren Zevon version, that background vocalist, Lindsey Buckingham.
Well, there you go. Okay. Yeah,
so he's around there.
Well, that's great.
You know, this is something I was thinking about for Warren. His big hit, right, that we know that has transcended weirdly is Werewolf of London, right?
Yes.
Werewolves of London?
Yeah.
Werewolves of London. We all know it.
Uh-huh.
In my mind, this is the universe. What if the Jimmy Buffett path was something that Warren also took, and his business was the Werewolves of London? Like, his Margaritaville was Werewolves of London. What do you think that enterprise would be?
Ooh. Like, okay.
Halloween store?
Halloween store or like a pet store.
Okay, Werewolves of London pet stores?
Yeah, Werewolves of London pet store. I can't imagine. If it was a restaurant, it would have to be like even more themed than Margaritaville.
Well, it would be a spooky.
Spooky. A Ooh. Spooky, spooky themed restaurant. Ooh. What if he became like the Halloween guy?
Oh my gosh. He's the Halloween guy.
The Halloween guy.
Every Halloween, he does some big old special or something.
Werewolves of London. That's very funny. Also regionally specific.
Yes. Yeah. British werewolves.
Yeah, British werewolves in London. That's very funny. I wonder. What are some other, like, Piano Man?
Piano Man.
Piano Man.
Oh, like big people's big hits?
Yeah.
Yeah, Piano Man Bar and Grill.
Piano Man Jazz Club.
I mean, it would be like a Piano Man, like a small, like a guy.
Yeah, a small groovy kind of place.
Yeah, the microphone smells like a beer.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Yes. Just spray beer on the microphone every night.
Like Sweet Caroline's.
Sweet Caroline's.
Sweet Caroline's, like a candy shop.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
It's so good.
It's so good. What else?
What would you say Bruce Springsteen's big hit is?
Like Born to Run is
Born
like a
run.
Running club.
Born to Run, like like a Lululemon, like a male Lululemon.
That's so funny.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's good.
Born to Run, like just all these baggy sweats made out of jeans, like denim sweats, bandanas,
white t-shirts.
Yeah, you just feel. Ugh, look at that guy in his Born to Run gear. Everyone's losing. Somebody sponsors. Like, if you get sponsored by Born to Run in a race, you're last. Because the denim sweatpants are so heavy.
They don't breathe.
Huge failure.
So funny.
Something to think about. If everybody enterprised the way Jimmy did.
Yes. If everyone got as lucky as Jimmy.
If everyone,
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Jimmy and Sammy Hagar. Great. What's our next one?
We have the French Inhaler.
Oh, this is one of my favorite ones.
This is pretty funny.
It's so funny.
It's super funny.
Okay, let's listen to it.
How you gonna make your way in the world, woman, when you weren't cut out for working? When your fingers are slender and frail. How you gonna get around in this sleazy bedroom town if you don't put yourself up for sale? Where will you go with your scarves and your miracles? Who's gonna know who you are? Drugs and wine and flattering light. You must try it again till you get it right. Baby, you'll end up with someone different every night. All these people.
That's Don Haley and Glenn Frey.
Of course it is.
To go home to. They all. Spend the night with you, baby, I would too. But tell me how you're gonna make
it's really
your
good.
Way in the world when you weren't cut out for working.
You aren't cut out for working.
It's
such a funny
great.
Lyric. It's really good.
Oh, wait. There's a lyric that's. Hold on.
You always show.
I love that.
It's so big.
It's so funny to me.
It's so funny.
It's so funny to me. You just can't concentrate and you always
show up late.
You can't work.
He's just griping about this person.
He's griping. I mean, it's clearly some sort of woman of the night.
Yes.
And he has sympathy for her. This is maybe what she has to do out here in Hollywood.
Yep.
This is how she makes a living. And it sounds like he also kind of is in love with her. He wishes maybe he was that person as
yes,
well. That he
you
could be
always
with her.
Show up late. You so funny.
I just think a bunch of chorus being like, "You always show up late." Like that's such a funny justification of like, yeah, you can't work if you're always showing up late.
No.
What are you gonna do? You can't concentrate. you show up late. I think it's so funny. You said you were an actress. Yes, I believe you are. I thought you'd be a star, so I drank up all the money. Yes, I drank up all the money with these phonies in this Hollywood bar, these friends of mine in this Hollywood bar.
It's so fun.
Oh, my gosh. It is
specific
so
Hollywood.
Funny.
He's writing about Hollywood.
Also, this is a little rough. This comes in later in the song. We didn't listen to it, but loneliness and frustration. We both came down with an acute case, and when the lights came up at 2, I caught a glimpse of you. And your face looked like something Death brought with him in his suitcase.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That's so mean.
This is
you
so
couldn't
mean.
Write this song now.
No.
It's so harsh.
Wow.
But it is. What a funny lyric. Your face looked like something Death brought with him in his suitcase.
Oh.
When the lights came up. That's pretty brutal.
Wow.
But there's something about kind of a reverence to the melody that cuts the meanness.
Yeah.
Right? You can tell he kind of respects her and likes her and admires her. The tune is one of admiration.
Yes.
But the lyrics are
that is
harsh.
Wow. That's wild.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Quick, yeah, but this is a quick Jimmy connection. This is where they're connecting. Jimmy was already working with Glenn Frey
and Don Henley.
My dad's friend's name is Jim Frey, so I get confused sometimes. He was already working with Glenn Frey and Don Henley, and so this was maybe there was some back and forth here.
Sure. Speaking of those guys, if they had a hit that turned to a franchise, the Hotel California.
Oh, that would be. It would be. You'd stay at the Hotel California.
Yes. Which,
or I was going to say like the Take It Easy Lounge.
The Take It Easy Lounge.
Hookah Lounge.
Inside the Hotel
CBD,
California.
A CBD shop.
Ooh.
Take It Easy.
I like that.
Yeah, peaceful, easy feeling. Yeah, that would be good.
That's
They'd
good.
Be really, really good.
But there's got to be a Hotel California that's already out there.
Yeah, there
I would assume
is.
So. Yeah, yeah.
What would the Beatles do?
Ooh. Oh.
Yellow Submarine Ocean Tour. Way over their head.
Oh, yes.
It's way out of it's such
oh,
a mess.
Yes.
That's so funny.
Oh, wow.
Long and Winding Road Construction Company.
Oh, so far these are just sad.
Norwegian Wood Lumber Manufacturing. Why did they get into such difficult businesses?
Maxwell Silverhammer Construction.
Oh, there we go. That's very good.
But it's like a white glove construction service.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Penny Lane Thrift Store. That's good. It's really good.
Oh, that's
yeah.
So
Strawberry Fields Produce.
Oh, I can see that.
Store.
Sure.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's good.
That's good.
Mohammed's Radio.
Mohammed's Radio. I love this one too.
This is a good one.
Let's give it a listen.
Let's check it out.
Let's check it out.
Oh, let's check it out.
Oh, wait.
Oh. Is that it?
Is that our melody?
Everybody's
can you go back?
Yeah, yeah.
And they got no place.
Because this is. Yeah, it's a quick mention.
Yeah.
But then, whoop, we got the electric guitar in there.
Everybody's
we're changing.
Restless.
Smooth.
This is the first one on B-side.
No
yes.
Someone's always trying to tell them something they already know. So their anger and resentment flow. But don't let
back there somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know the sheriff's got his problems too. He will surely take them out on you. In walks the village idiot
and his face is all aglow.
That's
he's
funny.
He's been up all night listening to Mohammed's radio. Know him, make you want to walk and roll all night long. Mohammed's radio. I heard somebody singing sweet and soulful on the radio. Mohammed's radio.
Yeah, I like this one a lot.
This is such a good one.
It's really good.
I was just reading about this one. By one telling, the title of the song was inspired by a Halloween parade Zevon witnessed in Aspen, Colorado in 1973, but by another telling, Zevon just liked the sound of the two words together.
Okay.
In any case, the song has multiple levels of meaning, starting with the redemptive power of rock music, but extending to notions of escapism, cultural mixing, mysticism, and whether rationalities exist below the surface level of society.
Wow.
So, you know, the same kind of stuff we deal with in fruitcakes.
Here...
It features some of Zevon's trademark mordant irony, but by another interpretation, it's a negative portrayal of life in L.A.
Wow. Here's a question for you. Music critics and music writers, the things that are written about some of like the most famous albums, talking about the Beatles, the Eagles, Elton John, whoever.
Yeah.
They get into specifics, like they really dive into what does this song mean, what is this album trying to say. Do you really think that the artist is putting that much thought into, like, some of them for sure, but like all of the songs really diving into it that deeply and saying this is what I want to say?
I don't think so. I actually, this is the most probably spiritual I get, but I believe there's a kind of a creative collective unconscious where if you get yourself to a specific type of brain wave length where you're kind of like feeling something out, something will come, whether it's because of everything you've experienced in your life compressed down to one specific type of vibe that just kind of pops out of you, and you're like the kind of pressurizer that's turning the coal into a diamond, and then we only see the diamond but we never saw the coal. I don't know if that's what happens. I believe that there's something happening in someone's brain when you're a true creative genius where it comes out and they're like, I don't know, that's just what it felt like, that's what it was, and you like it, that's great to hear. Like if you hear Paul Simon talk about all of his lyrics, he's like, I don't know, I just thought, he's like, listening to this, you know, when he did Graceland, he just jammed for hours with all these African artists.
Right.
And then he went back and cut them and edited them into these tracks. And then he just was listening to that one part. And he was like, Graceland, Graceland. I'm going to Graceland. Graceland. Great. Graceland. It sounds like Graceland. And it's like, well, we don't know what he meant by Graceland. Potentially, maybe he wrote around it. But the phrase he heard when he was listening to that was Graceland, Graceland, Graceland. So it's like, I don't believe artists. There's some that have a lot to say, but when somebody has a lot to say, you can kind of tell they meant to say it.
Sure, yeah.
I think when somebody is speaking with how they feel and they're not necessarily trying to make a statement, that's when the statement comes out.
Yeah.
Because it also becomes more interpretive and it's more personal because you can interpret it and make it personal for yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
That's my long diatribe. No, that's my script. Is it cool that I picked a script?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, it's great. Worthy you brought it, but I mean, it's fine.
It's nice. And I bring it every week, and I've never had a chance to read it.
You've been waiting for like 3 years.
Yeah. Now I can, let's just throw it away.
I like that. I get that. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I don't know. I think so. I think there's like it's just an artistic vibe. There's a lyric in here that's, everybody's desperate trying to make ends meet. Work all day, still can't pay the price of gasoline and meat. Alas, their lives are incomplete.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's can't tough. Pay for gas, can't pay for meat.
And
you're
it's
not
so
complete.
Funny. Yeah, exactly. You've been up all night listening for his drum, hoping the righteous might just come. I heard the general whisper to his aide-de-camp, be careful, watch for Muhammad's lamp. Be watchful for Muhammad's lamp.
Sure. Oh, well, there you go.
Interesting.
It's just a lyric. Who knows what
it
meant?
It's just a lyric. It's interesting, but I think there's things that people mean.
Yes.
It's just a little hard to be too specific, I think.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Oh, yeah.
This is something that my family says all the time.
Really?
Yeah. If we have to get up early for something like that, my mom or grandma or whoever, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Really?
Yeah. It's very funny.
I'll sleep when I'm dead.
I'll sleep when I'm dead. I get it. I get it. I'll sleep when I'm dead.
All right. Let's give it a listen.
I love this.
So much to do, there's plenty on
Yes.
Saturday night, I like to raise a little harm. I'll sleep when I'm dead. From the bottom, twisted again. I'll sleep when I'm dead.
I don't exactly know what's going on here, but I really enjoy it.
I like that it seemed like he was in the middle of a conversation, and then they said, we have to start recording. He's like, we'll just go, and we'll just talk. Yeah. He's going back and forth.
Well, I got a thing to do, so can we just do both? Kill two yeah. birds with one stone? Let's go for it.
Wow. And there's this lyric later. I've got a 38 special up on the shelf. I'll sleep when I'm dead. If I start acting stupid, I'll shoot myself.
Oh, my God. I'm dead. Oh, my God.
I know.
Heavy stuff.
Pretty intense. He goes so dark.
Yeah.
And then he comes back.
Was he like a depressed guy? Like, it seems like he had some demons.
I think he was going through a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a biography that was written by his ex-wife.
Oh, yes, we talked about
that. Sleep When I'm Dead.
Yeah.
And I just bought it before this episode started. Probably should have bought it before we recorded it. But it's fine, and I'm going to read it.
Okay,
I'll let
great.
You know.
Yes.
I'll report.
Report back.
I'll report back on what's going on with Warren Zevon.
Please do.
His album in 69 was a failure.
Yes.
And then I think after that, he went through a lot.
And he had a lot of starts and stops in his career, too.
He did.
Went away and came back, then went away again, then came back.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
Yeah. So, what's the next song, Ryan?
Carmelita.
Oh, and I know this one. This one is transcended. This one is Spotify gives it to me a lot on my daily mix.
Really?
Next to Jimmy Buffett. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Carmelita, Hold Me Tighter.
Yes.
You know?
So for Spotify, this goes hand in hand with Jimmy.
Yes. And also, I would say that this song probably references maybe why he's a little depressed.
Yes. Probably. Let's give it a listen. See what's going on.
Feels very California, too.
Yeah, it does.
I hear mariachi static on my radio, and the tubes, they glow in the dark. And I'm there with her in Ensenada, and I'm hearing Echo Park.
Echo Park.
Carmelita.
Shout out.
Hold me tighter, I think I'm sinking down, and I'm all strung out on heroin on the outskirts of town.
That is sad.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sitting here playing solitaire with my pearl. They won't give me no more methadone. They cut off your welfare check. Carmelita, hold me tighter. I think I'm sinking down, and I'm all strung out on heroin on the outskirts of town.
Well, yeah. There you go.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
You know, looking into this song, there is a lot of covers on it. There's
really?
A lot of really, really, yeah. There's a lot of people that have done a bunch of stuff. Linda Ronstadt, of course, did it.
Yeah.
This was originally recorded by Canadian singer Murray McLaughlin on an album in 1972, and then he recorded it himself 4 years later. And then Ronstadt did it in 77. People like Adam Duritz of the Counting Crows did this.
Okay.
Cross Canadian Ragweed, Social Distortion. There's this kind of like Mexican flair to this song as well that has made it a little, transferable.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking for. And there is, I guess, a very famous artist named Flaco Jimenez who did a cover of this with Dwight Yoakam. And I sent it over to you. He played it. He did it in 1990. 92. He's a Tejano music lesson, a legend.
Oh.
he's a music lesson because he's a legend. Tejano music lesson, Flaco Jimenez and country singer Dwight Yoakam on the album Partners did a version of Carmelita that I think we should listen to.
Let's give it a listen. Let's check it out. Oh, I love this.
I love this kind of music.
I hear magic static on my radio.
Ooh.
Here we go.
The tubes that glow in the dark. I'm there with you in Ensenada. And I'm here in Echo Park. Down. And I'm all strung out on heroin on the outskirts of town. Well, I pawned my Smith & Wesson, went down to meet my man. He hangs out down on Alvarado Street by the Pioneer Chicken stand. Come a little, hold me tighter. Yeah, I think I'm sinking down. And I'm all strung out on heroin on the outskirts of town.
It's really good.
It's really good.
I like that a lot.
It's so good.
That's great. Dwight Yoakam.
Dwight. We love Dwight.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan. A couple more songs on here, Ryan.
Couple more songs. Next up, we have, let me pull it back. Join Me in L.A.
That's correct. Join Me in L.A.
So L.A. This album, so L.A.
This album is so L.A., but clearly somebody who's not from L.A.
Yes.
Which I love, because yes. Nobody is.
No. I mean, melting pot, baby.
We're a melting pot.
Let's give it a listen. It.
All right.
Join Me in L.A.
Say this place is evil.
Bluesy.
Oh, yeah.
That ain't why I stay. Cause I found something that'll never be nothing. And I found it in L.A. It was midnight in Topanga.
Topanga.
I heard the DJ say, there's a
nightlife.
It's a little culty.
Yes, it is.
I think I like that vibe about it.
Yeah.
Of course, he was at a bar,
yes,
in LA.
On a dark and sultry day, had to call somebody long distance. I said, join me in LA. Join me in LA.
It's a very Jimmy song, just talking about what he's doing.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very Jimmy.
It's good. I
really
like it.
I like the idea that he's like talking about how much he loves it, but it's this negative vibe to it.
Yeah.
Like it's like a culty, like, join me in LA. Come here. You have to be here. Everyone needs you. Because that is a vibe that you get when you're in LA.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, come to LA. You love LA. It's going to be great. You're going to have a blast.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I hate it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You have to be here too, because I need to hate it with someone.
I need people here with me.
Exactly.
I can't stand it.
Yeah, so overall, Ryan, we're coming to the last song. Do you have any thoughts about this album?
I like it a lot, and I have not done a lot of Warren Zevon listening.
No.
And I think I want to now. Like, this is really good. I think this lays a lot of groundwork for what comes next. His greatest hits, I've listened to that. It's really, really solid.
Yeah, it's really good.
So it's interesting to see where he came from with some of these early songs and where he got to.
Yeah,
This is a great album. I liked it a lot. And it's similar to, like, the James Taylor one that we did. It's just interesting to see where they were in their career. And super interesting that this was produced by Jackson Browne.
Yeah.
Who, like, now when I think of musicians, I think of, like, Warren Zevon is kind of on this pedestal where Jackson Browne is still, like, really high up there, but not quite as high as some people regard Warren Zevon.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just kind of interesting. But what about you? What do you think?
I think he's truly, yeah, I love him. I think he's exactly who I've currently been looking for as an artist. Someone who doesn't take kind of their own words too seriously, but takes the art very seriously.
Yeah.
Is making really, really interesting stuff, making statements, but also kind of in a lighthearted way, using humor in a specific way, and just using their tools in a targeted way to produce what they want.
Yeah.
It's not just like, I feel this, I'm talking about this. It's like, no, let's go for it.
Yeah.
Let's make this happen. And I think he's really, really talented.
I love
it. I'm a huge fan. And a quick thing, if the Bee Gees made a business based on their famous hit, it would be probably the Staying Alive Assisted Living Center. Just wanted to throw that in there. I've been thinking about it for a minute.
Oh, so good. So good.
If you're, it's raining outside, beautiful. You can check out James Taylor's Fire and Rain weather channel.
Where he only tracks fire and rain.
Yeah, which also, you might say fire is not weather. And it's like, well, come to L.A. Join me in L.A. That's what I would say.
It's so funny.
This last song I absolutely love, so I can't wait to go out on it.
It's really good. Desperados Under the Eaves. Great song. Also has that through line we were talking about, that melody, that very simple little melody.
And there's
this
also,
is like the elevated version of it.
If we're also like kind of noting the track of what we're all talking about, it's Desperados Under the Eaves. So this might just be... This might even be us meeting Frank and Jesse James in L.A.
Oh.
It's Desperados.
Yes.
They wound up here.
Yes.
What do they end up do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do they end up do? What do they end up do?
Yeah, it's time to wrap this up.
And they, and they at the end, they say, look away down Gower Avenue.
Uh-huh.
Which is also, to me, a reference to the kind of hasten down the wind, backs turned, looking down the path.
It's
a lot about looking and turning and going towards places.
So there's a lot of blending like in this album, a lot of stuff that goes into everything. It's good. I love it.
I can't wait to listen to this again.
Let's do it. Desperados Under the Eaves. Until next time, I am Mayfair Marleybone.
I'm St. Charles, Tennessee. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I was staring in my empty coffee cup. I was thinking that the gypsy wasn't blind. All the salty margaritas in Los Angeles, I'm gonna drink them up. And if California slides into the ocean, like the mystics and statistics say it will, predict this motel will be standing until I pay my bill. What? Don't the sun look angry through the trees? Don't the trees look like crucified beings? Don't you feel like desperados under the eaves? Heaven help the one who leaves. Still
shaking hands. And I'm trying to find a girl who understands me.
Ever wanted to hear from the neighbor at 9 Cloverfield Lane? Or what if I told you that Dr. Loomis's worst patient wasn't Michael Myers? I'm Adam Peacock, host of the podcast My Neighbors Are Dead. Join me each week as I talk to the lesser-known characters from your favorite horror films. Each week is an all-new, fully improvised journey into the unknown featuring friends and luminaries from the worlds of comedy, horror, and beyond. New episodes every Tuesday on Campfire Media. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Campfire.